Welcome to the FOI Equip Podcast, your free resource for learning and engaging with the scriptures from a Jewish perspective. Hi, everybody. I'm Chris Katulka. You know, the scriptures tell the story of God's chosen people and his plan to bring salvation to the whole world through Jesus, the Jewish Messiah. Come see why it matters that God would choose an ancient people to bring a timeless hope to a lost and broken world. Now, listen, I want to encourage you to go to foiequip.org to sign up to be on our mailing list. You're going to receive vital information on how you can join our free live online FOI Equip classes. Now get ready. Join our expert staff on the FOI Equip podcast as we teach the scriptures, unravel the colorful world of Jewish culture and customs, reveal God's prophetic plan, and so much more. Now enjoy this teaching from FOI Equip.
What we want to do tonight is look at the subject of archaeology and how it impacts our understanding of the Bible, particularly helping us defend our faith. When we talk about archaeology, there's two ways of doing this. You can simply talk about the subject of archaeology involving what others have found and the information that comes to us. In my case, I also do archaeology. I help bring some of that information to light. And so we've been doing that now over 30 years. So this is just some pictures of me in the field, particularly at Qumran, discoveries we've made in the past. We're going to be looking at digging for the truth, how archaeology confirms the truth of the Bible. And let me just say that as we look at this question of how the Bible fits with the finds, we're going to have to move fairly quickly. I know you're used to having probably some time to discuss and address questions. I opted to give you more material and more information, so I trust you'll hang in there with me. If it goes a little too fast for you, the recording is there on YouTube. You'll be able to go back and access that as you like. Well, since the advent of modern criticism in the 20th century, I would say probably even going back a little bit to the 19th century, but in the 20th century, we had skepticism about the Bible based on the fact that people were looking for evidence and they couldn't find it. Scholars would say, I don't really trust the text. We need more. And for that reason, these were not believers that were doing this. They couldn't just trust the text because they believed God had revealed it, and by faith they could accept it. So in this case, the evidence was needed, and God had brought that evidence. He just hadn't been revealed. Progressively, that began through the 20th century, particularly as Israel became a nation, because that's where the focus of a lot of the information was, and began to be unearthed. So we really now have an embarrassment of riches when it comes to archaeology and the biblical data. It's really quite amazing. What we're talking about is the intersection of history and the biblical text, because everything we read about, both in the Old and New Testaments, took place either within the land of Israel or Asia Minor, which is today Greece and Turkey and part of the Roman Empire, part of the Persian Empire. All these things were part of the ancient world, including Mesopotamia, over where we have now areas of Iran and Iraq, and even parts of Saudi Arabia. So that area in the past had a rich history. Within that history, God entered the scene, and he did very normal things, but he also did miraculous things, and the Bible records both. It records it in such a way that we believe these were eyewitnesses, and they give us their own evidence because they want us to see that these things really happened. But their word is not enough today. People want more information. They want something they can see and they can feel that brings that history to life. And so that is what we have now when we come to the text. Now, when you look at 1 John 1:1, it tells us that God already intended this to be the case. This is relating to the New Testament, but it applies to all of Scripture. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, and we beheld with our hands, and they handle these things concerning the word of life. So everything related to what God did in time and what he did in a place called Israel left evidences, left behind his, as you could say, fingerprints. And when those things are found, it's only proper for us to be able to not only hear the word of God, but also see it confirmed with a real reality, so that our faith is founded on facts and we have a real faith as a result. So this was the apologetics of the first century, even before then, but archaeology is certainly using apologetics are using archaeology to bring this knowledge of the truth. Now, the reason we need this is because we've had a declining biblical worldview. You remember that Great Britain used to be, I said, the sun never set on the British Empire, and it sent missionaries out everywhere. Some of the greatest works of faith were produced in this country, but that has changed. And that, of course, this undermining of the Christian faith is the result of previous centuries of attack on the Bible and academic institutions and national life of Great Britain. Consequently, that kingdom, which sent more missionaries to the world than any other, has become a mission field itself and now ranks as one of the major international centers for occultism, which has rushed in to fill the spiritual void left by defection from true faith. We come to our country. We find most of our major universities will teach postmodern method of self-centered interpretation. If they read the Bible, they no longer assume its words mean the same thing today as it did when they were written. The context no longer matters. Really, history is no longer necessary. For people today, history begins with me, so because they're the self-interpreter. Original meanings of Hebrew and Greek terms are unimportant. The only thing of importance is the method, which is the reader's own context and culture, only how he or she sees and understands language and their life situation. The same thing is happening across the board with anti-Semitism today. They don't take any pains to get to the facts of things and believe the first things they hear. And sentiment is on the side of the so-called oppressed versus the oppressor. So on this subjective basis, the word of God disappears. Only the imagination of man is left to make the Bible say whatever one wants, even the opposite of what the author intended it to say. But the Bible is real history. We have two views when we come to archaeology. They realize that they're digging into history, but they take the Bible as simply a religious text. So we have two different approaches to the Bible today by those who do archaeology. We have the minimalist approach. The minimalist say the Bible's not history. It can contain history, but only archaeology could give a real interpretation of history, which the Bible may or may not reflect. The Bible reflects the mythic worldview of its time. Since they don't believe in divine revelation, they believe the people who wrote the Bible did the best they could given the limited knowledge they had in a pre-scientific world. So they simply say this is interpreted history from a religious viewpoint, but not actual events of history. Doesn't matter if what the Bible says really happened. The important thing is the moral message that is being communicated. We're going to talk a little more about that when we come to the book of Genesis. Way back, even in the 1950s and 60s, Miller Burroughs, who was the director of the American School of Ordinary Research, now called the Albright Institute in Jerusalem, said the excessive skepticism of many liberal theologians stems not from a careful evaluation of the available data, but from an enormous predisposition against the supernatural. And of course, archaeology produces simply things of history. However, if we can show that the history is accurate history, that the people who record it took great effort to get it right, then we should not doubt that they used the same care in communicating what would be eyewitness events, even miraculous events, which are supernatural in origin. So the problem is, of course, the denial of divine revelation as a source of the biblical record. But archaeology provides evidence that the Bible is a reliable historical document because it brings pieces of the past, oftentimes like this, we call the Cyrus cylinder, or others like the Taylor prism, when pictured here, which actually records a diary of Sennacherib who attacked Jerusalem. And the whole account is mentioned in three different books of the Bible. And the events are, and even mentions King Hezekiah of Judah, shut up like a bird in a cage. You see these kind of things, and you can see that what the Bible said is recorded by the enemies of the Bible, writing from a very secular point of view, left in stone. Now, the maximalist is the opposite of the minimalist. He sees correspondence between the Bible and the archaeological record. He starts with the Bible as his priority. I'm a maximalist. I want to maximize the biblical revelation, realizing then that if it is telling an accurate account, it can even be utilized to find things that we know the location of sort of from the Bible, but we've never found the actual artifacts that are there. And that kind of thing has been done over and over again. So if the Bible was not reliable, we couldn't do that. In other cases, when the evidence comes, it fits almost hand in glove with the Bible. So the rule here is that the biblical data has priority in interpretation over the archaeological data. We have to start with the Bible. After all, the Bible itself is an archaeological document. It's the most complete source of evidence we have for an historical event. So it goes back with the Ten Commandments, or let's say the Torah, which is written by Moses, the first account written down of this divine revelation. One reason we need to do this is because the church and the sources that feed the church, such as seminaries, are changing rapidly. Dan Wallace, who went to seminary with me, as a matter of fact, wrote this. He said, those in ministry must close the gap between the church and the academy. Academy meaning the academic side of the faith. We have to educate believers instead of trying to isolate lay people from critical scholarship. We need to insulate them. They need to be ready for the barrage because it's coming. The intentional dumbing down of the church for the sake of filling more pews will ultimately lead to defection from Christ. And that's because people are not getting answers. They're watching television, they're watching movies, everything from a completely secular worldview, often a very critical and challenging worldview of the biblical material. And there's no one answering those questions for the most part. So we have to get our information on our own. We have to remember there's a lot we don't know, but the absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. A little tells you a lot if you have the documentary evidence. So if the Bible is excluded as evidence, historical interpretation can only be based on the limited evidence from the archaeological record. It will give you facts, but you have nothing to compare to. So once you have the complete record, when you see parts of it found in the archaeological record, you know the whole makes sense. And it even helps that part become part of the whole. We read the scriptures from a Western and 21st century perspective, and it's very far removed from the original time and culture and context of the Bible. For that reason, archaeology can take us from where we are in the 21st century all the way back in time to where these things literally happened, because they fit into a particular time, particular language, particular culture, okay, which changed through time. But archaeology froze that information in time so we can get it. So a study of biblical archaeology informs us of the time and context of the original readers, allows us to interpret the scriptures accurately. It's only when we understand the ancient context we're able to apply it correctly to our modern lives. So we want to apply it. We want to understand it. It has to be relevant, of course, but you have to get it right in its original context before you can apply that content today. Here's just some of the value of archaeology for biblical studies. It illumines the past. It gives us knowledge about things we did not know, because the Bible just gives us a glimpse sometimes, but that fits into a whole history of customs and culture that we know nothing about. But archaeology has revealed a lot of that to us. It gives information about the past also that we did not know. The Bible may mention places, it may mention certain events, but those places and events are part of much larger context. When we understand that, we get a better grasp of really the insights into the Bible, because the people who lived in those times, those places, understood. But we have to go back and get that information to understand ourselves. It also illustrates in a very vivid way, just like you wish you could see pictures of the things you read about in the scriptures. Well, you can through archaeology. We have inscriptions and reliefs, all kinds of things that depict biblical figures themselves and many of the buildings and things that were part of that. For instance, the temple that Jesus was a part of. We have so much of that it's been fallen down, but a lot that it remains, so we can recreate that in very accurate ways. It also helps us when we come to the written material that's been discovered, like in the Dead Sea Scrolls or in biblical manuscripts. We have 25,000 Greek manuscripts. We have biblical manuscripts, not only the Dead Sea Scrolls, but some others in between. All of those help us determine that the text we have today in our Bible is just what they had then. There hasn't been a loss. There hasn't been a change. We have a reliable text. And then it also helps us identify biblical sites. Many biblical sites have been found simply based on the information in the text of Scripture.
Thank you for listening to our FOI Equip podcast. Again, I want to remind you to go to foiequip.org and sign up to be on our mailing list. We'd love to see you at one of our free live online FOI Equip classes. Also, be sure to listen to our other podcasts like the Jew and Gentile podcast, hosted by yours truly and Steve Herzig. Also, the Gesher podcast, hosted by Ty Perry. You can find out more ways to get involved with the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry by visiting foiequip.org. FOI Equip is an outreach of the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. We are a worldwide evangelical ministry proclaiming biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah while bringing physical and spiritual comfort to the Jewish people. Hey, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you soon.